Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
But you say, well, Wayne, are there seasons when we're poor? Yeah, there'll probably be seasons when you get really thin. But are there seasons that you're going to be thin? Sure, when you're a college student, you're poor. When you're newly married, you're going to be poor. Come to think of it, when you have children, you're going to be poor. Come to think of it, when they go to college, you're going to be poor. You know, most of your life, you're going to be poor. No, it really doesn't matter how much you have. It's in that state wherein to be stewarding and trustworthy.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne has a message that covers an area most of us can use a little help in. It's a message entitled, The Truth About Money. We'll find out that if you want to gain wealth, you'll have to learn the secret of cross-training. What is cross-training, you ask? Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Truth About Money.
We're going to begin this way. Let me talk to you first about cross-training. You may have heard that word. Cross-training is when you are involved in one kind of activity that's not an end in itself, but it really has a greater application to something of a higher value. And it may seem dissimilar, disconnected, but it's very interconnected. For example, if your goal is to be a great world-class pianist, concert pianist, there's a cross-training of da 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 da, what's called scales. Now, your goal is not to be the champion of all scale players. I can play do re mi faster than anybody else. No, it's not an end in itself. It has a greater application to a higher purpose. The same is true with athletes. They will do a cross training called core exercises in the middle of their body, their stomach, their backs, their legs, their different areas for agility and tensile strength. They will do these core exercises that applies to something far more important. It's not an end in itself, but it's extremely important for this, because if you fail at this, you will fail at this. You've seen that with football. Football players will be in the gym cross training with weights, not just for weights, but because it has a much higher purpose. Or the military. Before you go to combat, you do some cross training in a place called, yes, boot camp. Boot camp. I want to talk to you about God's boot camp for everything else in life. But before I do that, I want to remind you of an example of that taking place in a film several years ago, The Karate Kid. It's supposed to be pronounced karate, but Karate Kid, when Daniel-san desires to be the champion of all karate guys. And so he goes to the expert, Mr. Miyagi, and he says, I want to learn karate from you. So he says, you want to learn? Yes. No questions? No questions. All right. And he gives him a sponge, and he says, wash the car. And then wax on and wax off. At first it seems novel, so he does it. And then he gives him two sanding blocks. Sand is a floor. Okay, I did it. No, or floor. And then paint the fence. And then side by side, paint the house. Well, by this time, Daniel's arm is not only hurting him, he is finished with this stuff. I didn't come to clean your house, he says. I didn't come to sand your stupid floors or paint your fence. I came to learn karate. And he's just about ready to throw in the towel when he has an evening conversation with Mr. Miyagi. Let's see what happens. Take a look.
Daniel-san. Daniel-san.
What?
Come here. Show me sand the floor.
I can't move my arm, all right? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Now show me sand the floor.
How did you do that?
Shut up!
Sand the floor.
Hey, stand up. Show me sand the floor. Sand the floor. sand floor. Big soccer, sand floor. Sand floor. Yosh. Now show me wax on, wax off. Hey.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. Hey, wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock a hand. Thumb inside. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on. Wax off. Ush. Show me penta fence. Up. Done. Up. Done. Up. Done. Other side. Look I. Always look I. Show me paint the house. Side, side. Lock list. Side, side. Side, side. Yes. Show me wax on, wax off. That's. Show me paint the fence.
That's.
Show me side to side.
Yes.
Show me sand of floor.
That's.
Hey. Hey, look I. Always look I. Come back tomorrow.
Cross training. Sometimes activities that seem so dissimilar are extremely interconnected. But it's not an end in itself. It's to be converted into something much greater. But if you fail at this boot camp, you will not succeed in what you've always wanted to become. Is there a boot camp that God gives to us for life? Absolutely. And it seems so disconnected, but I want to talk to you today about the truth about money. Let's read at the top of our notes, Luke 16, verse 11, to find this boot camp. Would you read it with me out loud? Go. If you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Once again, nice and loudly, go. If you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches of heaven? Orai, look my eye one more time. Go. If you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? You see, God is saying, if I mess up at this boot camp with untrustworthy about worldly wealth, then how will I succeed over here? Because I want to give you true spiritual riches. You say, whoa, wait a minute. What's true spiritual riches? Well, what could be greater than the greenbacks? Let me tell you something far greater, which you'll learn in stewarding this so that you'll have distilled the disciplines and the fortitude and the insights and the abilities to be able to sustain something far greater. What's greater than that? God's favor on your life. What about that? What about your faith? What about character depth? What about spiritual disciplines, sexual disciplines? What about the different appetites that want to control your life, a craving for this, a craving for that? What about the ability to resolve problems appropriately? What about when God gives you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge and you can speak into something and there's an innovative change that takes place? Spiritual gifts. I tell you, that's exactly what will change the world and change families and give you a future and a hope, not this. And if you want to know what God sees as important for his purposes coming to pass, just look and see what the devil counterfeits. Find out what he counterfeits in the world, whether it's friendships between guys or between girls or love or he'll counterfeit things money has to deal with. If he can counterfeit those, then you'll know what he's attacking. You'll know what's important to God because the enemy knows. And so he's going to make this an end in itself so that you'll never, ever achieve the greater riches that this was to be a means to, not an end in itself. This is a boot camp, and there are principles that God has for us here that it's so important for us to catch that you cannot violate the truth about money. Now, some people say, whoa, wait a minute. Because the Bible says that the love of money, money is the root of all evil. Well, not money is the root of all evil. It's the what? The love of money. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And that word love of money is not the word agape. It's actually an interesting Greek word, philaguria. Philaguria means love that has turned obsessive until it's an addiction and you can't control it anymore. It controls you. It's the word avarice or greed. That's the beginning of all evil. When it becomes an end in itself, rather than stewarding this is a means to something far greater. You see, when greed begins to obsess or control you, that word greed simply is defined as, greed is defined as keeping everything you get. So there's no flow through. I just become a cul-de-sac. I got to keep everything I get. Even though you don't use it, I get this greed and I begin to accumulate because this is an end in itself. And then my value, my identity, everything is wrapped up in this. And the devil's got you. Because then it becomes not a means to an end, but an end in itself. Do you know what the fastest growing business in Hawaii is right now? What do you think?
Storage.
Look around. Prime pieces of property that'll go for millions and millions of dollars just for the dirt. You see this beautiful building coming up. You think, oh, it's a federal, state federal building. Or, oh, it's a courthouse. No, it's storage. In Hawaii right now, we are dedicating prime property to Hawaii's junk. Think about it. Prime property to Hawaii's junk. You think that this is crazy. They're spreading everywhere. Why? Because the devil has so duped us into thinking this is an end in itself that we begin to keep everything we get. So then some Christians will swing the pendulum completely the other way and say, okay, then if that's bad, then I'm just gonna be poor because God has called me to be poor. Doesn't that sound spiritual? But that's a bunch of junk. No, God never calls anybody to be poor. No, he might call you to work among the poor, minister to the poor. But if we're all poor, how are you going to help poor? Because you is poor. God wants us, oh yeah, he's calls people to work among the poor. You say, well, wait a minute. Jesus was poor. This is foxes have their holes, birds of the air have their nest, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head and rest. He wasn't poor. Jesus owns the universe. He owns the stars in the heaven. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He could call at a moment a legion of angels. You need lunch? 5,000 lunches, please. Snaps his finger. You need lunch? 4,000 are fed, the bread and the fish. You need more fish? Calls up from Galilee a draft of fish to jump in the net. But why was he always with the poor? Because he was called to reach the poor. Do you have to be poor to reach the poor? No. You will choose a chosen lifestyle to live, not with bling bling all over, but you will live as they are in order to be able to be understood by them. But you don't have to be poor. In fact, the Bible says that God did not come for the well, but for the sick. Okay, so if he was called to the sick, you're supposed to be sick? No, you better be well if you're going to minister to the sick. Do you understand? He doesn't call people to be poor. He calls us to minister to the poor. Well, what about Mother Teresa? She was real poor. Now, Mother Teresa was a woman that worked among the poorest of the poor, but she had raised millions and millions of dollars. Take a look at her homes for the aging and the home for the dying. She has many of those all over the world, cost millions of dollars. She was able to not just keep what she got, but let it pass through so that God's purposes have been taken care of. She was very wealthy, but she knew that greed was keeping everything you got. So she would keep enough for her Sisters of Mercy and for her own, the garb and the food, etc. But she gave as much as she could so that these things could be established because she was called to work among the poor. She got the Nobel Peace Prize. You know how much she got in cash? Just under $1 million just for that one. In fact, do you know that Al Gore split the Peace Prize this year? The money has gone up. You know what his half was? $5 million. That's what he was given. And I'm sure he's going to give it to Greenpeace or, you know, these nice people that like the Sierra Club. Ha, 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 ha. No, he's not going to. But I tell you, God is giving to us a calling. But you say, well, wait, are there seasons when we're poor? Yeah, there'll probably be seasons when you get really thin. Sure. But it's in those seasons you're going to learn tons of stuff. You're going to learn so much about humility, about keeping your knees to the carpet, about asking, about being diligent, about being cautious in what you spend, the ability to say no to certain things. Huge amount of character that's going to be needed over here. But are there seasons that you're going to be thin? Sure, when you're a college student, you're poor. When you're newly married, you're going to be poor. Come to think of it, when you have children, you're going to be poor. Come to think of it, when they go to college, you're going to be, you know, most of your life, you're going to be poor. No, it really doesn't matter how much you have. It's in that state wherein to be stewarding and trustworthy, to be faithful in what God's given to you. That's why Paul says, I have learned that whatever state I am in, whether in abundance or little, therewith to be content. In other words, however much God gives me in this season of my life, this is a test. It's a training ground for something greater. So be faithful and don't grumble about it. Don't cut corners. Be faithful because it's building something far greater. That's the truth about money. But the devil will tell you it's an end in itself. Mm-mm. Let me give you today three principles and three laws that have helped me so much. And so please catch this. And if you, and I will guarantee you that if you will take these three principles and these three laws and get them in you, it will help you to avoid hundreds of pitfalls and potholes in life that have snagged so many people. So here's the first one. You say, well, okay, where do we start? Here's the first one. When it comes to finances and the truth about money, number one, would you write down, you gotta know where you stand. Know where you stand. In other words, have a clear view of the land. Where are you in your finances? How much do you have every month that you have to pay? No, not just your discretionary stuff where you want to buy. No, you have to pay, which is rent, food, not eating out food, food at home, your gas, your insurance. How much a month? Oh, I don't know. I pay my insurance once a year, $600. Just do a little bit of math. That's $50 a month. So 50 bucks a month, plus your utilities, plus this, how much? Can I encourage you, please take an afternoon and write all of the monthly things. Now, if you have a car payment, write that down. But don't write down credit card yet. Put that over here. Because I'll tell you, one thing that messes us up will be credit cards. I'll talk about that in a second. But keep that off to the side. What are the things that you have to have every month so you can stay alive? So you say, well, clothes, how much clothes? You don't have to buy half of Ross. You just got to buy like, okay, if I bought a shirt a month, that's 12 in a year. That's plenty. One Bibbidi's Naff a month, and that's 12 a year. The Portuguese way is, you know, 12 Bibbidi's Naff, because one for January, one for February, one for March. So you don't have to buy tons. Just kind of figure it out, and then you figure out about how much, so you know, okay, this is how much. You know, $3,000 a month, $4,000 a month, $2,000 a month, whatever it might be. Get that settled. That's what I need. And if this is being paid every month, I'll be fine. And then you put another column, how much do I have as income? No, not from birthday presents or gifts that are given to me or extra jobs that I get on the side. No. How much in my salary that I can guarantee it's coming in solid every month? And you put that down. And if it's $2,000 here on your income and $3,000, you're going to have some problems. We're going to have to make some adjustments. But if you don't know that, you're going to be stressed all the time because you can't make the payments and you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. And you can do that just so long and then everything folds. It's a house of cards. So the first is you've got to do this. Know where you stand. You say, is that biblical? Absolutely. Let's take a look at Proverbs and you'll see. Read it with me. Go. Know well the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds, for riches are not forever. No, that's a training ground. It's the truth about money. Riches are not forever. There's other things that are. This is a boot camp. So you're going to learn certain things for this. This is what sustains a marriage. This is what gives you a future and a hope, not this. So this is where you will learn the principles of discipline, saying no, self-control, thinking through things, planning. You're going to need all of those disciplines here. It seems so disconnected, but it is not. In the old days, your financial strength will have been known by how many sheep you have or goats that you have. So know well the condition of your flocks. If someone has 50 or 100 or 500 sheep, that's their bank. In the same way, he's saying today, know well. Would you circle those two words? Know well the condition of your flocks. Know well. Sounds like a Christmas word. Know well, know well. And know it well. And pay attention to your herds. Before you can pay your bills, you got to pay attention. You can't pay bills if you don't pay attention. So take an afternoon and write that down. Now I'm going to talk to you about something that I've done and I still do today and has helped me so very much. If you have X amount of bills and not enough income, you've got to adjust one or two things. One, you've got to adjust down your expenses or out expand your income. The first thing you do is not try to expand your income. Because if you're already living beyond your income, you expand your income, guess what your expenses are going to do? Automatic. They're just going to do this. And you will always live beyond your ability, and you'll violate principles that you should have for here. Then you're going to get into a relationship and you're going to go beyond the borders. You're going to reach further than you should have, and you're going to keep messing your life up. Why? Because I didn't learn the disciplines here. This is a boot camp for life. You say, nah, is that real? Absolutely, it's connected more than you will ever, ever know. That's why the devil counterfeits this so much, to make it an end in itself so that you don't see that it's a means to true riches. The disciplines necessary, the understanding, the insight, the ability to say no, all of these things. So the first thing you do is you decrease this. Well, how do you do that? Whatever. You have garage sales. You get rid of some stuff. I mean, we moved from a more expensive car to a cheaper one because I noticed when Anna and I were first married, I was paying about $200 more than what I was making. And so you can ask my wife. I took our car out and I drove back home with a 67 Rambler. It was ugly, let me tell you, but it was paid off. So the money that I got from selling our nicer car, I had a little bit more. I bought free and clear this Rambler. She was upset. We were crying. I mean, you ask her. She knows that. But we stayed with that for about a year and a half until I got all my finances in order and I could save enough. And then we got a different car. So you've got to sell stuff. Move to a cheaper apartment, something, so that you don't violate this. Oh, I couldn't do that. Yes, you can, because it's more important than your image with your friends. It's the principles of eternity that you want to grasp. That's the truth about money. If you got to do that for a season, no big deal until you get this in place. Whatever you need to sell, sell it. Your bicycle, your children, and get rid of them. And then you can expand this. So you've got to know where you stand first. Here's the first law. Would you write down the first law? Law number one. If I am afraid of the truth, I will never gain a freedom in finances. If I'm afraid of the truth, you've got to know exactly where you stand. Otherwise, you'll be polarized. You'll go by your room where the bills are stacking up, and you'll break out in a cold sweat, and you'll run, you'll flee. You've got to be able to find out where you stand and know the truth. Why? 8:32 of the book of John. You shall know the truth, and the truth will... That's where you start.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled, The Truth About Money. Tomorrow, Pastor Wayne will show us an important key to gaining wealth and promotion. It's all about diligence. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
New Hope Oahu is excited to announce open enrollment for its preschool, Kulia Christian Academy, located at New Hope Oahu's Sand Island campus. Limited spaces available for the current school year for students ages 3 through 5. KCA is also accepting applications for the 2023-2024 school year and will be adding a two-year-old program in the fall 2023. KCA is an affordable full-day program that strives to inspire and equip children to grow academically, socially, and spiritually in a Christ-centered environment. For more information or to enroll your child, visit our website at kuliachristian.org.